Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be here with you today. My wife and I were saved in Rota, Spain, at my first duty station. A gentleman tracked us, invited us to church. We went, got saved the second Sunday morning. We attended there. I came forward, trusted Christ. Remember, never been in a Bible preaching church, sat down in the front row, I bowed my head. I can remember saying to the Lord, "Lord, I don't not know what happened to me, but I do know my wife needs that also." I looked up from praying and she was at the altar. We got saved. The same Sunday morning, we only had about 6 months or 5 months left there on base, and we were able to get a great foundation through the missionary that we were saved under. And we came back, felt the call of the ministry, attended Midwestern Baptist College, graduated there. Through a series of events, ended up in New Orleans. Humorously, it was the one place I think I ever said I would never live in New Orleans. And not only did we live there, but we loved every minute that we were there serving the Lord there. Grace Baptist Church was our first church. It was a wonderful church. Larry Allen was the founding pastor. B.G. Buchanan was the pastor of Pastor Josh's church at the time. And he just about single-handedly supported that church for years until it got on its feet. Today, it is a great church. Craig Foote's son is now the pastor there. They have a great Christian school. They've moved to a much larger facility. And the church that the pastor in Baton Rouge knew was not the right kind of church, and that's why we needed a new church in that area. I told Pastor Josh I looked for that church last night online. It doesn't exist. It's long gone, but Grace Baptist Church continues. And so it was an honor to pastor there. From there, we felt a call to missions. We went to Italy, served in Sicily. For 11 years, pastoring Calvary Baptist Church of Sicily to the U.S. military stationed there in Sicily, and then came back to Waterford and pastored Silvercrest Baptist Church until we merged with Emmanuel Baptist Church of Pontiac, and then we changed the name from Silver. We didn't want to take Silvercrest or Emmanuel, and so we changed it to New Beginning Baptist Church and pastored there until we retired 5 years ago. So we are thrilled to be here at Oxbow Lake Baptist Church. A good friend of mine, Don Bergen, was friends with him for so long. He just loved this church, loved the people, the missions program. If you've been out of church and looking for a church, it's very difficult to find a church that stands on the word, holds to the standards of music. It's just a wonderful place to be. I don't know everybody, although we attend here, but if this is your first Sunday, please don't blame the church on me. Don't blame me on the church, but come next week and hear Pastor Todd. We look forward to every service, and he will be a blessing to you. I want to just share a kind of a simple concept to you this morning. It's something that we all know. I like our adult Sunday school class. The teacher keeps saying, basically, this is nothing new. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. We need to be reminded of things so often. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 17, verse 32, Jesus tells his disciples, in regard to the coming judgment, he says, "Remember Lot's wife." That's his command, his direction. So this morning, how many here remember Lot's wife? I won't trick you and tie you up. And what was Lot's wife told not to do? Don't turn around. What did Lot's wife do? She turned around. And when she did, what happened to her? Pillar of salt. And The thing that I thought about in preparation of this message is we all know that part. Told to do something, disobedient, turned around, turned to a pillar of salt. But for this morning's purposes, most importantly, is that what we know is that she never took another step forward. And so the message this morning is we've got to stop looking backwards. And we are told that over and over in Scripture. As a young husband, and trying to find God's will and trying to know how to live a good life, I came to the verse that talked about husbands, love your wives. And then that verse does not have a period there. It has a comma and says, be not bitter against them. And the only way that a husband can possibly ever become bitter towards their wife is by constantly looking back at what they did yesterday and the day before and the months before and the years before. And so what we find in Scripture, and we'll see it a couple of times here, is God doesn't tell us why not to look back. Didn't tell Lot's wife why not to look back, just simply said, don't look back. And so this morning our text is going to be found in Philippians in chapter 3. And I want to read Philippians 3 in verses 9 through 14. Philippians chapter 3 in verses 9 through 14. Paul, after giving quite a lengthy background of his experience, all the things that he could either be ashamed of or proud of, he summarizes it here in verse 9 and says, this is what I really want. He says, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And then our two text verse this morning, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would bless the reading, the teaching, the preaching, the hearing of your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me again at verse 13, the first phrase. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul understands that no matter what he has ever done for God, as long as there is breath in his body, there is yet a job to be done. 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught his disciples in the Gospel of John in chapter 4 and verse 35. He tells them then, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I was asked this morning where I was raised, where I came from, and came from the city of Detroit, born and raised in the city. It's funny, as you travel around the world and you tell someone you're from Detroit, and they'll say, oh, we're from Detroit too. And say, oh, well, what part? Oh, Wyandotte. I'm like, Wyandotte is not Detroit. And you start learning that people outside this area, they didn't know there was actually a city of Detroit. It's always Wyandotte, Trenton, it's somewhere outside. But I was from the city, went to the public school system there and survived, hallelujah. But I am a city boy. My dad was much more a city boy than even I am. But I can remember going on vacation, like before the Mackinac Bridge was built, And we'd be going up I-75, and I'm confident my dad never planted a seed in his life. But as we go up I-75, I can remember him with great authority looking to the side and saying, "Wow, look at the corn. Needs to be knee-high by the 4th of July." I heard that in probably 1951, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1960. Every year, going up I-75, because that's all he knew about gardening, that the corn in Michigan needed to be knee-high by the 4th of July. But what we need to be reminded of this morning is that every year, the corn needs to be knee-high by the 4th of July. The fields are always white unto harvest. There is always a job to do. And we're the farmers. We're out there trying to find the needs of the crop around us. Every church that you go to has certain ministries, and they just seem to be fitted for the community, fitted for the area that they're located. And it's important for every worker in every one of those ministries to understand there's a fresh crop coming. It's June now, but it'll be school time soon. And there will be some frantic homeschool parent that needs some kind of a co-op to put their children in to just try to survive this process of homeschooling. There will be parents this summer that are looking for somewhere to send their children to a VBS. There'll be someone next Sunday that wasn't here this Sunday, and they need a Sunday school teacher, adult Sunday school teacher, children's Sunday school teacher. The crop is always white unto harvest. Someone will lose a loved one this week in White Lake. Someone will run into marriage problems this month, and they may call you. Someone will walk through the door of this church every Sunday, every week, every month, and they will have new problems, new needs, and searching for the answer. And we are the only ones that have the answers. And every year it's different. Every camp period, it's going to be a different group of young people, and somebody moves up to the next one. All of a sudden, this one in senior camp, and all of a sudden, they're a counselor next year. The crop is always there. And so Paul understands here in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." It doesn't matter how old we are, and it doesn't matter what we think we've done in our past. None of us feel that we've done anything anywhere near to what the Apostle Paul has accomplished. And all he can say is, "We're not there yet. I've not apprehended." And so he says, secondly, in the second part of verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." We need to understand we're on a journey, and we're still on our way there, and we're not there yet. But I can't keep looking backwards and thinking about what I've done, whether those things are positive or negative. That's why I believe God doesn't really tell us, forget those bad things in your past, because I find a lot of people sort of sit out because they feel like they've done so much already. So now, because we've looked back and say, "Oh, look at everything I've done." And, you know, there's a saying, I'm also a 20-year Navy veteran. And so, one of our favorite sayings is that, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. But then I found out that's what a lot of pastors say. 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Well, don't be the 10% that did the work, and now because the other 90% didn't do it, you don't do it anymore. You can't look back and rest on what you think you've done in your past. And we also can't get to the point where we look back at our failures or look back at the mistakes that we've made, and because of that, we think we're no longer on the journey. I mean, Paul lists a long list of things. We have never accomplished near as much as Paul, but we've also never done half of the bad things Paul did. And so he learned in both ways. I've got to stop looking back. I cannot look behind me. We have got to look forward. Luke 9 and 62, Jesus said unto him, a man that had a desire to follow him. And he says this very simply, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I find it interesting in Scripture how often there is no name given, a man, him, a disciple. But I also find it interesting that we don't get the disciple's response. He's basically telling this man, the disciple says, well, I want to follow you, but can I go back home? Say goodbye. And Jesus says, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And we don't know from Scripture, did he go back or did he just say yes, sir, and follow Jesus? Because that's not our concern. Our concern is if we want to be a disciple, are we willing to follow him wherever he sends us without excuses? That's what he needs from us. We just need to know, what do you want me to do? And I want to do it. And I cannot look back. I'm a city boy, but just before we retired, we bought a place out in Oxford. I actually had a couple of acres out there and had all this grass to cut, and ended up with a zero turn, you know. So I got my dreamed up zero turn, and I looked at all my neighbors and their beautifully manicured lawns, you know, and I cut my lawn, and it's one of these deals, you know, and I'm looking across the street and his are all just perfect, you know. And I what else do you do? You go to YouTube, amen. How do you cut grass? How do you cut grass? I mean, as much as I paid for this thing, I should be able to put it on autopilot and get it done, but it wasn't like that. And so it was, the instruction was so simple. It said, just wherever you want, look at a tree, look at a fence post, look at something there, and know where you want your part of your zero turn or tractor to end up. And so I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And I did it. And I turned around and I'm like, wow, that's really straight. And so you can do that a few times, but if you're cutting your grass and you're going down, you say, I'm really doing a good job. All of a sudden you turn back and you don't even remember what tree you were going for. You get completely lost. My dad was my coach. He was my hero, but he was my coach. He played, he was all city, all state football, and he ran track, played baseball, he did it all, extremely athletic. I think he thought I must have been adopted or something, because I didn't have any of that, but he was a great coach. And I can remember his coaching was, whatever sport, if you're going to make the basket, look at the basket. If you're going to hit the ball, you have to look at the ball. If you're running track or you've got the football and you're running and you're going for the touchdown, never turn around to look back where your opponent is. And just the last few weeks ago, I was looking at some sports clips, and there was a guy had the football going for the touchdown, and I mean, he was 10 feet in front of the nearest pursuer, and he was much faster than him, and he's running, and he's not barely 10 yards from the goal line, and he goes, and just like my grass cutting, when he turned back around, this foot caught that foot, he went airborne, landed on that turf, the ball flies up in the air, the pursuer grabs the ball, turns around, and starts running the other direction. Friends, if we are ever going to get where we're supposed to be, we cannot keep looking backwards. We have got to keep our eyes on the goal, keep our eyes on what it is we are supposed to be doing. God is a wonderful record keeper. And because he is a record keeper, we don't keep our own records. Our records are going to be distorted. They're going to mess us up. And so our job is simply, and I know this sounds a little oversimple, but I've found in the ministry, the hardest thing for all of us is this right here. One step at a time, staying in the center. Over and over and over, the Bible says not to vary to the left or to the right. Keep your eye on God, and just one day at a time. And this is what you and I need to do. We need to kind of relax. Don't worry about, we've all made mistakes in the past. Don't let those mistakes stop you. And we've all done something for God in the past. But don't think that's the end of our responsibility. Hebrews 6. I don't know how many times I've read these two verses, but in connection with this message, I got so excited. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that, number one, ye have ministered. He's keeping track of all that. He is not unrighteous to forget what you've already done. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's today. And verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's all that God asks us to do. He gives us salvation. This is a simple truth I think we all understand. We can't look back and go forward. And yet Paul does make sure that the readers understand this can only be done through Christ. If you just glance with me at verse 9, Paul says, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Everything Paul's going to teach us about going forward and looking forward and keeping our eyes where they need to be, he can only say that because he has forgotten those things that he was relying on. He understands that his strength, his salvation, his future is all by faith in Jesus Christ. Any of you that were, I was 24 when I got saved and I was steeped in religion. What an amazing thing to step out of religion and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The pastor of my church that I attended told me with his own mouth that he was not sure there was a God. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I have an Abba Father. I have a daddy in God, and he will help me and guide me and strengthen me and help me to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And third, verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the challenge for you and I today, regardless if you're a teenager or you're whatever term they're giving us old folks today, golden senior, golden years, where golden years comes from at this age, I have no idea. But regardless of whatever age we are, we need to be able to read verse 14 in the first person. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is that your testimony this morning? Can you say that in the first person? And that word press is it's an interesting term, pressing toward the mark. You're pushing yourself there. Now, the verse before talks about reaching. Now, so we are, whether we're reaching with our hands or reaching with our eyes, we're staying focused. But now he says, I am pressing toward the mark. I am working hard to get there. And that's where we need to be every day of our life. And none of us knows where that mark is. I mean, we know we want to keep going forward. But when does that end? And we don't know. And thankfully, we don't know. But what we do know is that there's another VBS coming up. What we know is there's another school year coming up. We know next Sunday there's another Sunday school class. And if you're a children's Sunday school leader downstairs, you have a tremendous responsibility. And it's one you need to take very serious. Don't start preparing Saturday night for Sunday morning. You ought to be in the Word tomorrow preparing, because you have no idea what the people in your classroom are going to need next Sunday, and only God can lead you there. And so whether we're young or old, something just triggered my thought, just seeing a nice mix of older and younger people. And, you know, when I was first young, I had a lot of enthusiasm. When I was first saved, I had a lot of enthusiasm, but not a lot of wisdom. Now I find I have more wisdom than I have enthusiasm. And somehow we need to keep those combined. And so what we all understand is our roles over time will change. But what does not change, God's word doesn't change. Man's needs don't change. And our responsibilities don't change. Our roles may change, but not our responsibilities. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, that was written around 55 AD. Our text this morning was written around 62 AD, about 7 years later. So in 55, he tells the church at Corinth, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And he's making it very clear. Follow me as long as I'm following Christ. If I veer, just pass me. Just step over my body. But follow me as long as I follow him. That was 55. In 62, he writes this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do. And he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. That's 7 years later. Just 3 years later, he writes to a young preacher while he sits in prison. He's been there before, but this is most likely, in his idea, this will be the last time he'll be able to get the word out. And he says, I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He actually got a glimpse of the finish line. He knew where he was. He assumed he would be martyred. History seems to verify that. But what stands out to me is the brevity of life and the brevity of time. He tells the church at Corinth in 55, follow me as I follow Christ. 12 years later, he's martyred. This life is a vapor, appears for a little while and vanisheth away. Sometimes we think about, oh, I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life. Friends, the rest of our life is not very long. And only those things that we do for Christ actually matter. Nothing else matters. And so he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then the very next verse, if you only read half of it again, you would say, well, that's arrogant. But when we see the whole verse, we see this is a great encouragement. It was an encouragement to me as a young Bible college student in seeing this verse and realizing that God can do anything with anybody that will give their life to him. And so he says to Timothy, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What keeps us going? We're looking forward to seeing him. What makes us take the next step? Well, he loved us when we were unlovable. If we love his appearing as Paul loved his appearing, we will continue to fight to the end. Take step after step after step. And the thing that will hinder us, that will block us, that will stop us, is we get to some point in our life, we're young, and we think, well, I need to make more money. I need a better job. I've had such a rough life. My parents were this. I've had these problems. We get old and we look back, and I've made mistakes. Or we get old and we look back and say, man, I've been doing this for 50 years. But Paul says these rewards are for every Christian that looks forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ. The only way to go forward is to not look backward. Keep our eyes fixed on the mark and just see what God can do with you and I as an individual in this great church, in this community. Pastor.
Can we stand with heads bowed and eyes closed?